Okay, imagine this. You're walking down a street, and it's not just any street. It's paved with gold, pure gold.
Wow.
I know, right? And the walls around you, well, they're made of jasper, and there's this river, but it's a river of life flowing right through the city.
Sounds pretty amazing.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is the New Jerusalem that we read about in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, and it's awesome. But there's one thing, one huge thing, actually, that's missing.
What's that?
The temple. There's no temple.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And that's what we're diving deep into today. Why is there no temple in the New Jerusalem? A pretty big deal when you think about how important the temple was, especially in Jewish tradition.
It really is. I mean, even Ezekiel, in his vision of the restored Jerusalem, he puts the temple right at the center of it all.
Exactly. So why would John, the guy who wrote Revelation, leave it out? Is he messing with us, or is there something deeper going on here?
Well, thankfully, we've got Dr. Matthewson's work to help us make sense of it all.
Yeah, he's got some really interesting insights.
He does. He really digs into this whole idea of the missing temple, and he argues that it's not an oversight, like John just forgot to include it.
Right.
He's saying it's a deliberate choice, a powerful statement about how God's presence works in the new creation.
It's like John is trying to tell us something really important by not including the temple.
That's exactly right. And what makes it even more interesting is that this goes against what everybody was expecting back then, not just the Jewish people, but even the Greco-Roman world.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you look at their idea of an ideal city, a utopia, there's always a temple.
So if everyone expects a temple, why doesn't John include one? What's the reason?
Well, he actually addresses it directly in Revelation 21:22. He says, "I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple."
Wait, so God and Jesus the Lamb, they become the temple.
It seems that way. Pretty radical, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it makes you think back to when Jesus said he was the temple.
You're right. It's that same idea. And Dr. Matthewson does a great job connecting those dots.
So instead of a physical building, God and Jesus, their presence is the temple.
Exactly. Dr. Matthewson argues that the whole purpose of the temple was to be the dwelling place of God among his people.
Right, to be where heaven and earth meet.
Yes, and now in the New Jerusalem, that purpose is completely fulfilled, but in a way that goes way beyond any physical structure.
So it's like the ultimate fulfillment of what the temple was always pointing toward.
Precisely. God dwelling directly with his people, no separation, no barriers.
But hold on, because Dr. Matthewson takes this whole temple idea even further, he suggests that it's not just about God and Jesus being the temple.
Right.
He's saying the entire New Jerusalem becomes a temple. How does that even work?
Well, he points to some really cool details in John's description of the city, for example. Remember all those details about the New Jerusalem? Like how it's described using that same Greek word, the exact same word, for altar that's found in Ezekiel's vision of the temple.
I don't remember the specific Greek word off the top of my head.
Of course, not many people do. But it's there, and it's significant because it suggests that it's not just about God and Jesus being present. It's like the entire city becomes holy space, saturated with God's presence.
Okay, I'm starting to see what you mean. So the whole city is like one giant temple.
Exactly. And there's more. Like, how about the shape of the city? John says it's laid out like a square.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. But what's so special about a square?
Well, Dr. Matthewson points out that this layout, it mirrors the cube shape of the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple.
Wow, so it's not just a random city of gold. It's intentionally structured like a temple.
It seems that way. Like John is purposely layering in all these references to create this picture of the entire city as a dwelling place for God.
This is blowing my mind. There are so many details I never even noticed before.
It's amazing, isn't it? And there's even more. Remember those precious stones on the foundations of the city?
Oh, yeah, those are super cool. 12 different stones, all sparkly and stuff. Kind of reminded me of the high priest's breastplate.
You're right, they are similar. And Dr. Matthewson spends quite a bit of time exploring that connection, back in Exodus 28, where the high priest wears those stones, each one representing one of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right, I remember that. So, what do you think John is doing by putting those stones on the foundation of the New Jerusalem?
Well, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? What if he's hinting at something bigger here?
Like what?
Like maybe in the New Jerusalem, all of God's people are taking on that priestly role, having direct access to God's presence. No more need for a designated building or a special person to mediate that relationship.
Wow, that's a pretty radical idea. Everyone gets to be a priest.
That seems to be the direction John is pointing us in.
This is so cool. I'm starting to see the New Jerusalem in a whole new light.
Me too. And don't forget about all the gold in the New Jerusalem.
Oh yeah, the streets are paved with it, right?
More than just the streets. It's everywhere. And Dr. Mathewson points out that this gold, it recalls both the lavish gold in Solomon's temple and the gold found in the Garden of Eden.
Okay, so we've got the gold connecting the New Jerusalem to the temple. But what's the significance of the Eden connection?
Good question. It seems like John is subtly linking the new creation back to paradise.
So it's not just about God's presence being restored, but also about creation itself being healed and made perfect again.
It's a pretty powerful image, isn't it? Like everything is made new back to the way it was always meant to be.
This is all so fascinating. But is this temple city idea just something John came up with? Or is it something bigger?
Well, that's where it gets really interesting, because Dr. Mathewson argues that John isn't just pulling this out of thin air. He traces this idea, this thread, through other parts of the New Testament.
Really? I'm curious to hear what other passages connect to this.
Well, think about Paul's letters. Remember how he talks about believers as living stones being built into a spiritual house?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Or Peter's description of us as a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Those passages take on a whole new meaning when you see them in light of this temple city concept in Revelation.
So it's like John is picking up on this theme that's already woven throughout the New Testament and bringing it all together in this stunning vision of the New Jerusalem.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the key takeaways here, this idea that God's presence is no longer confined to a specific building. It's now diffused among his people throughout his creation.
So no temple in the New Jerusalem. But the New Jerusalem itself is the temple.
That's the idea. Mind-blowing, huh?
Definitely mind-blown. But what does this all mean for the age-old question about whether the actual temple in Jerusalem will ever be rebuilt? And that's a pretty big deal for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. And it's something we're definitely going to tackle. But first, we need a break.
Sounds good. We'll be right back after this. Okay, so we've talked about how the New Jerusalem is the temple, but what about all this talk about rebuilding the actual physical temple in Jerusalem?
Right, that's a big question these days.
It is, especially with everything going on in Jerusalem right now. There are a lot of people who believe it needs to happen.
Yeah, it's a really complicated issue. It touches on all kinds of things, theology, politics, you name it.
And Dr. Mathewson, he really dives into all that. He doesn't shy away from the controversy.
Not at all. He acknowledges the debate and even says that rebuilding the temple is possible.
Okay, so he's not ruling it out, but then he throws in this curveball.
Yeah, he argues that even if it happens, rebuilding the physical temple might not be as prophetically significant as it was in the Old Testament.
Hold on. How can he say that? I mean, people have been waiting for the temple to be rebuilt for centuries. They see it as a sign of the end times, like a major prophecy being fulfilled.
I know it's a big shift in thinking, but let's think about it this way. What was the whole point of the temple in the first place? What was its purpose?
Well, it was for God to dwell among his people, right?
Exactly. And as we've been discussing, Dr. Mathewson's point is that this purpose, it's already been achieved, but in an even greater way through Jesus and the New Jerusalem.
So it's like we've moved past the symbol to the reality itself.
That's a great way to put it. It's like holding on to a photo of someone you love after they've come home.
I love how he uses that analogy. Like, you don't need the picture anymore because you have the real person right there with you.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? And it challenges us to ask, are we clinging to a symbol when we already have the reality?
So if the reality that the temple pointed to is already here, why are some people still so focused on rebuilding it?
Well, there are a lot of different perspectives on that, and Dr. Mathewson digs into some of them. For some people, it's about a very literal interpretation of prophecy.
Like, they believe specific events, including the rebuilding of the temple, have to happen in a certain order before Jesus returns.
Exactly. And for others, it's more about symbolism and tradition, you know, connecting with their heritage.
But Dr. Mathewson seems to be pushing for a more symbolic reading of Revelation.
Yeah, he wants us to see the bigger picture. He reminds us that the need for a physical temple in the first place, it came about because of sin, because of the brokenness of creation.
Because humanity couldn't handle being in the direct presence of a holy God.
Exactly. All those elaborate rituals, the limited access to the Holy of Holies, it was all a way of managing God's presence because of our sinfulness.
We needed that separation, that buffer.
Right. But in the New Jerusalem, all of that is gone. There's no more curse, no more sin. God's presence fills everything.
So the old temple structure with all its restrictions. It just doesn't make sense in that context.
Exactly. And I think that's where Dr. Mathewson is going with this. He's saying that if the reason for the temple no longer exists in the New Jerusalem, then maybe we need to rethink our priorities.
Okay, so rebuilding the temple isn't necessarily wrong, but it's not the most important thing.
Right, and Dr. Mathewson acknowledges that it could still have symbolic value for some people, but he's cautioning against putting too much emphasis on the physical building itself.
So it's not about the building, it's about what it represents.
That's the key. And I think Dr. Mathewson would agree that the most important thing is to focus on what the temple ultimately pointed to, God dwelling among his people. And thankfully, we already have that reality through Christ.
And that brings us to the next piece of this puzzle. What does it mean for us to be temples of the Holy Spirit, like Paul talks about? That's a pretty wild concept.
It is, but it's also incredibly powerful and relevant for us today, because it's not just about a future reality. It's about how we live right now.
Okay, so let's unpack that. What does it look like to be a walking, talking temple in the here and now?
Well, think about it this way. If God's presence isn't confined to a building anymore, but dwells within each of us.
Right, we are the temple now.
Exactly. So how does that change things? How does that affect our actions, our relationships, our view of the world?
It's a huge question, and I think it's one that a lot of people are wrestling with today.
It is, and Dr. Mathewson offers some really insightful thoughts on this. He points us back to that idea of offering up spiritual sacrifices.
But what does that even mean practically? I mean, we're not talking about animal sacrifices or anything like that.
Right. It's not about literal sacrifices. Like in the Old Testament, Dr. Mathewson emphasizes that it's about offering ourselves, our whole lives, as a living sacrifice to God.
Okay. I can see how that connects to the idea of surrender and devotion. But how does it tie into being a temple?
Well, think about the purpose of the temple. It was a place of worship, a place of holiness, a place where God's presence was made known. If we are the temple now, shouldn't our lives reflect those same qualities?
So it's not just about personal piety. It's about embodying God's presence in the world.
Exactly. It's about being a beacon of God's love, grace, and truth in a world that desperately needs it. It's about living in a way that makes people ask, "What's different about you?"
That's a great challenge, and it really makes you think about how you're representing the temple in your everyday life. Am I showing God's love to my family, my friends, even strangers? Am I standing up for what's right? Am I speaking out against injustice? It's a whole other level of responsibility.
It is. It's both humbling and exciting. We have this incredible privilege of carrying God's presence within us, and that presence should impact everything we do.
This whole conversation has been so eye-opening. I'm seeing the book of Revelation and the whole Bible really in a whole new light. It's not just about figuring out prophecies or arguing about timelines. It's about understanding how God is working in the world and how we fit into that story.
I completely agree. And I think that's the beauty of diving deep into these theological concepts. They push us to go beyond the surface and really grapple with what it all means for our lives.
And I think Dr. Mathewson's work does an amazing job of making these ancient truths relevant for us today.
Absolutely. He really bridges the gap between the ancient world and the modern world.
And I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about today. So as we wrap things up, what's one key takeaway you would like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I think the question that Dr. Mathewson leaves us with is a good one. If the New Jerusalem, and indeed you yourself, represent a temple of God's presence, how does that change the way you live today? Are you reflecting God's love, justice, and holiness in the world around you?
That's a powerful question to end on. It's a challenge to all of us to really think about how we're living out our faith. And I think that's the perfect note to end on. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into the fascinating world of biblical theology. Okay, so we're walking, talking temples, but does that, like, change how we should actually live?
Well, it definitely brings up some interesting questions, like, if God's presence isn't stuck in a building anymore, but is actually inside each of us.
Right. We are the temple.
Exactly. So how does that change things? I mean, how should that affect our actions, our relationships, even how we see the world?
Yeah, it's a huge question. And it kind of makes you think about that whole idea of offering up spiritual sacrifices.
Right. What does that even mean?
I mean, we're not talking about like animal sacrifices or anything like that, right?
No, not at all. It's not about those kinds of literal sacrifices that we read about in the Old Testament.
Right.
Dr. Mathewson talks about this and emphasizes that it's really about offering ourselves, our whole lives, as a living sacrifice to God.
Okay, so it's more about like surrender and devotion and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's about giving ourselves completely to God.
But I'm still a little fuzzy on how that connects to being a temple.
Well, think about the purpose of the temple. Why was it built in the first place? It was a place of worship, a place set apart, holy, a place where God's presence was made known.
Right, to be close to God.
Exactly. So if we are the temple now, then shouldn't our lives, how we live, reflect those same qualities?
So it's not just about like personal piety or being super religious. It's about actually like embodying God's presence in the world, showing it to others.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's about being a light, a beacon of God's love and grace and truth. You know, the world really needs that.
Totally. It's about living in such a way that people see us and wonder, like, what's different about you?
Exactly. What makes you tick?
That really makes me think about, like, am I really doing that? Am I showing God's love to my family, my friends, even people I don't know? Am I standing up for what's right? Am I speaking out when I see injustice? It's a lot to live up to.
It is. It's a huge responsibility, but it's also pretty amazing when you think about it.
It really is. To think that we can carry God's presence within us, that's pretty powerful stuff.
Absolutely. And that presence, it should affect everything we do.
I have to admit, this whole conversation has been a real eye-opener for me. I'm starting to see the book of Revelation and actually the whole Bible in a whole new way.
Me too. It's not just about decoding prophecies or arguing about when things will happen. It's so much bigger than that.
It's about understanding how God is working in the world and how we fit into his plan.
Exactly. It's about relationship, not just knowledge.
I love that. And I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about today, so much to unpack. So as we wrap things up, what's one thing you want to leave our listeners with? What's the one thing you really hope they take away from this conversation?
That's a tough one. But I think I'd go back to that question that Dr. Mathewson asks. You know, if the New Jerusalem and you yourself represent a temple of God's presence, how does that change how you live today? Are you reflecting God's love, his justice, his holiness in the world around you?
That's such a good question. And it's one that we should all be asking ourselves.
It's easy to get caught up in the details and miss the bigger picture.
It is. But this idea of being a temple, it's a really powerful image. And it's a challenge to all of us to really live out our faith, not just talk about it.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll see you next time for another deep dive into the Bible.